You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I talked to you 6 months ago about how gentrification and an increase in residential areas has sort of affected venues and the music scene. Have there sort of been any updates since then?
I don't think there's been much more change, as it were, in terms of gentrification or anything like that. I think that the ongoing residential price squeeze is continuing to cause the same sort of patterns as I spoke to you last time about. You know, people being forced to live further and further out, and artists relocating to cheaper towns and things like that.
How do you sort of feel like the music scene in Auckland is doing at the moment?
As usual, despite everything, we have groups of artists who are sort of making great progress and getting some recognition and things like that. I don't know if the success of bands always equates to a success of a live scene, but it's always part of it. It helps with the nostalgia thing.
What about as a venue owner? Have you sort of, like, is it quite strong for you personally?
To be honest, like, running venues, you tend to feel that you're at the bottom of the mountain and shit rolls downhill. Particularly with the wine cellar at the moment, we're sort of in the position of having far too many acts wanting shows, and our normal role of being sort of a first serious show sort of venue is a little bit under pressure, as there aren't other places for people to play, or there aren't so many other places for people to play. So we've got a lot of established artists who are still wanting to do shows with us, which is always great, but that means there's only so many dates in a month that you can do shows, and it gets kind of a little problematic when you're booked quite far in advance, which we have been for this year.
Would you think that maybe some newer acts are sort of losing out to more established acts?
Insofar as bookings, it can work that way, but it can also work against the established acts who aren't used to having to think that far in ahead, or they're on a roll of shows and tours that they can't plan 6 months. You know, they can plan a certain amount of things 6 months in advance, but quite often when opportunity knocks, like showcases and tours that can happen quite last minute, they lose out, because, you know, an unestablished band can wait and plan ahead, and they know what's going to happen. But, you know, when you're on the cusp of some sort of success and suddenly you're like, oh well, we need to do this because we've been invited to play this festival, or been invited to go on tour with somebody larger, or there's an opportunity to make it to Europe, you don't always know that 6 months in advance. It can be quite puts a lot of pressure on the sort of acts that are, and they're also seen as doing well, and people think that means that you're getting lots of money. On the reality of, you know, great critical success and great touring can often be sort of maxed out credit cards and poor dietary habits.
Yeah. Do you think that there needs to be more venues then, since there's so much sort of demand?
Yeah, so I think more venues would help. But also, I have a sense that there's sort of, as far as the audience, like, venues need audience buy-in. All the places that are venues need to get support.
Like government support?
Well, I mean, there's always that query, but I think that, you know, institutional support for alternative music venues is a questionable, like, the implementation of that could lead to some questionable decisions.
Why is that?
I guess I have a viewpoint where I distrust too many gatekeepers, and it doesn't always lead to that. I don't know. I worry that, you know, if things are sort of state funded or even council funded, there are probably artistic restrictions and problems that can come about from that. I mostly mean that the venues need the sort of audience support as much as the artists need audience support. And there's this weird thing where people don't commit to shows or don't commit to going out and supporting shows and venues and then complain that things that they're interested in don't happen, while things that they are ostensibly interested in happen all the time, they just don't hear about it, and that's supposedly the venue's fault or the artist's fault. Where I think if people sort of, I guess it's a bit spurious to sort of accuse audiences of not sticking to what they like, but I don't know, there's so much on, there's either too many shows or not enough shows, and the balance would be somewhere in between where things that did happen got enough support to sustain themselves, and venues need support to sustain themselves, and artists need support to carry on doing their work. I don't know. Things seem quite fragmented and frayed at the edges, and I think that may be just economically people need support and they're frayed at the edges, and you know that they're quite often taking the easier, cheaper options of entertainment, and it has to work, and things are just far more fragmented.
What do you think that artists can do to sort of encourage, like, as sort of like Golden Dawn closes and King's Arms closes and you guys are booked out to like February or something, do you think artists should be putting house shows on or something to sort of keep the scene going outside of venues if there's no access?
Some bands should be playing lots more house shows and other bands probably shouldn't be playing house shows. It kind of comes down to the kind of genre and the kind of setup and what you need to make a good show. Like, there's always the thing that some bands play wherever, whatever, even if it's grossly inappropriate. And I shan't name names, but there are particular new venues that are quite inappropriate for a lot of shows. Like, if you're a garage rock band or a punk rock band, or even any kind of indie rock thing, then house shows are definitely something that you should get good at playing. But it is a different thing, and there's always the risk that if you get a name as being a house band show, then it's hard to transition back to be taken seriously. I mean, I think it's fine, but at some point you've got to grow an audience to the point that's beyond what you can do in a house show.
How do you feel like the sort of Auckland music scene has changed over the last sort of 5 or 10 years?
I don't know if it has. I think there's sort of like there's a constant boom bust, and the imagined outrageous success that in reality is survival. I think the only thing that's changed is I think that sort of like the pressures on established or supposed successful artists are different in terms of sort of streaming and record company deals, or the lack of record companies to have deals with, or the lack of finance of certain, of, you know, some record labels exist, but they don't exist in the same sort of with the same financial backing that they once had, or people imagined that they had. So I think it's a wheel of progress that the longer term you look at it, the more similar it gets.
Do you think it's ever going to be less sort of cyclical in nature, or do you think it's always going to be like that?
I think the arts in general have the pressures and problems almost eternal. Yeah, I don't think it's going to change that much. I think probably on a more fundamental level, what's changed and what's changing is reflected in the wider and how people's economic lives are changing because of housing and population pressures and things like that. I think that's the only significant change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.